Maria. Well, that was actually got good prelude to what I'm talking about today, James 3. So we might turn to James 4. I'm going to use my computer today. Because my sister and my brother-in-law, who's my friend also, Bruce, have come over to see myself and my wife, Leanne. And don't often get to see him. It's been a year with COVID and what have you. And my niece, their daughter, is in hospital right now, 4 months pregnant with a hemorrhaging fibroid in the uterus. So I thought we'd have some prayer later and lay hands on them and see our my believing niece raised up, set free, baby do well, and the husband doesn't faint. He's a pastor as well. I think that's right. So, Book of James. Well, James 1 is interesting in that rather than summarising, it's giving you the idea of what's coming. And it's written in a time of great poverty, as far as I can read from. And the poverty is because there's a great famine or a drought in the region of Israel. But it's written to all Jews, believing Jews at the time and believing Christians. So there was great taxes, of course, with the poverty, and they had an identity crisis with the Jews and with Rome, because Rome was still oppressing the world, known world then. So that sort of sets the scene of James, the half-brother of Jesus, running a church that people are going a little astray, getting things a little wrong. And if we turn to when it works, there we go. James, next slide. Have I got a clicker? Oh, here it is. Now, the right one. Good. Okay. So let's put ourselves just a little in context here. Do you think James is happy? No, he's not happy. Not a happy chappy at all. That's Australian slang. Who understands Australian slang here? Put your hands up. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Oh, good, so I can really rip into Australian slang. Good. So he starts off and he's going, I think I'll read from here. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this that you your passions are after? My eyes are going in and out. I'll put my glasses on. Thank you. Are at war within you. You desire and do not have. So you murder. You kill. You covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. I don't think that was the right tone. You adulterous people. He's getting upset. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns previously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Fire and brimstone, to a degree. You know, there's a time and a season the goodness of God just can't shine through when we're going astray. And I'm not talking about us here. I'm really talking about what's happening in the world right now. Particularly what's happened in America, and I was saying to my wife and others that this wokeness, this awakening, this humanitarian stuff, friendship with the world, that everyone has what they feel and what they think is right. But let's get rid of Jesus. Let's get rid of our core culture and let's reset. So here they are, being taught, some I dare say, like James, walked with Jesus. And here they are doing ridiculous things as far as you ask and you don't receive. Why? Because you ask with a selfish ambition. It's all about you. Now, you haven't got food in your belly, but God will provide. You haven't got money in your purse, but God will provide. And what you're doing, you're fighting amongst yourselves. And what's that going to achieve? I'm ad libbing here, trying to set a mood. Because sometimes we need just to stand up and be counted for Jesus. So in John 5:14, which I have to do the clicker. Says, oh, thank you. I had a reset a few weeks ago. My heart's decided not to work. And I'm forgetful right now. This is why I've got this. So anyway, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us, according to his will. What is God's will in something we're very familiar with? We love the word. We love the words of Jesus. We love to talk amongst ourselves about Jesus. Not amongst ourselves for ourselves. That's not us. That's not the Vineyard way. That's not Jesus' way. Wherever you go. And it's a wonderful thing just to rejoice in Jesus. And all the people said. Amen. His words, his simplicity, and his provision as well. So he also says, highlighting there, he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Oops, out of sync. So if we love God, we don't want to sin. You know, so much of my life is spent not trying to do the wrong thing, and you do the wrong thing. If you say there's a law about this and there's a law about that, you're going to gravitate to that law. Sorry, that's the way the human mind works. But if you love Jesus, you are not going to want to sin. If you love your spouse, well, I had to find my love for my wife again, which I did by the grace of God, then I got eyes only for my wife. It's a heart thing, not a law thing. It's a heart thing. So, you know, James is letting him have it here. He's got his goat up. He's really got sick and tired of hearing that they haven't got this and haven't got that, and they're even doing sin grossly within the church, and going, what are you guys doing? Who looks at the Bible Project? Put your hands up. Do. It's great. Right? Because Professor of Theology, Tim Mackey, brings it down to earth. Simple stuff. Good overview. And Simon loves this saying, and I love this saying. He delivers in the book of James, he says, a punch in the guts. Why? Because they needed sobering up. So he said, it's time for a punch in the guts, Tim said. That's what James is getting at. Sober them up. For he says, for he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil. Oh, what happened there? Went to? There we go. Okay. I'm doing it from two things. I'm a bloke. I'm going to do one. Yeah, I'll say next. Yeah, okay, thank you, brother. So he says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what's happening in America right now, the people are just saying, we don't define the good and evil side of it. Don't blame people, but blame the devil. And wake up. Don't woke up. Wake up. That what's happening in the world right now is trying to take away our freedom. In America, and I said to my wife, it'll flow down to Australia soon. Well, within 1 hour now, it's flowing to Australia and the Western world. Not allowed to talk about God. They want to get rid of Christ out of schools. Can't say prayers to kids in schools. My son comes home on Friday, Thursday night, and said, "Dad, at work now," because he works in the Department of Defence as a civilian, "that I've got to use pronouns. I've got to ask, are you a him, a they, or what?" And I said, "Can you add it? Because I get so confused." You know, they're trying to change our language. That's the first sign of infiltration to our beliefs. Change our language. Interesting, isn't it? And get rid of Jesus. But resist the devil is not a passive action. It's an action of affirming, stand up and be counted for Jesus, is what it really means. In 1 Peter 8, it says, Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Not people that aren't Christian. Us. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We need to pray for all our brothers and sisters. Now, we might be a bit insulated from this, what's happening, but not for long. It's going to affect us a lot. I used to go evangelising down at Glenelg and Henley Beach with my mate Bob when he was alive. And in 2004, we were told we couldn't hand leaflets out anymore about Jesus. Then we got told you can't go up to anyone and talk about Jesus while they're cancelled. So there was a real threat back then. It started a while ago. It's been creeping in. So I still talk about Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we're going to get persecuted. It's going to happen. But let's not think that we're going to get exterminated. The more we talk about Jesus, God will do his thing. God will rise up. We don't have to be offensive. We don't have to go out there and placard, even though you feel like you should. Because at the end of the day, God will move as we pray. Next, please. So, in James 1, he's actually foretelling what he's saying. In verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted that I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." We own our sin, in other words. We all know that. "Then desire, when it conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my loved brothers." So we're going to be watchful. But it always starts with yourself first. Don't condemn others. Work on yourself. I had to. Now, it's very easy to pass judgment. And often the ones that pass judgment are the ones that need to be judged. One that passes judgment, unfortunately, they're the ones usually having a problem about what they're saying. Because they've got to remove the little beam out of their own eye first, trying to remove the splinter out of someone else's, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. So not everything is going to be love, but we need to speak it in love. It may not come across as love, but it's our intention is love. Next slide. Is that verse 6? I can't see. Yeah. So it's warning against worldliness in verse 6. "But God gives grace, more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves," and it's talked about the devil. Resist the devil, what he said. "Now draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners," what they were doing, "and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Take this as a warning, not as an instruction. So think of the prodigal son drawing near to God. The prodigal son just turned up coming home after squandering half the wealth. Father didn't care about that. He wanted his son back. He His brother may be a different attitude, but that's another story. But in Luke 15, in verse 20, the father arose and came to his the son arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. He's one step towards God, 100 towards us. It's a simple thing. He will draw nigh to you. How do we get to know God better? The verse goes on and say, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, take action. Physical action. Change the way you do things. In the inside to the outside. In other words, quit submitting to the devil's program, as you could say. Quit submitting to what things are happening around us that aren't of Christ. I suppose this new normal which they're trying to pass on to us is more about an ungodly way to live. And it may sound good on the surface, but scratch away the veneer and it's full of white ants. Eats away at everything. It's very sad. Quite frankly, I was upset. This is what spurred this on. A child came in with a rabbit at work, and the mother bought the rabbit in the morning. They picked it up in the evening. They got the sex wrong. Because his name, Snowflake, should have been a girl. And I said, oh, sorry to say, but your little rabbit is not a girl, it's a boy. The mother said, oh, no, it's a transgender rabbit. And the little girl goes, yeah, I got a transgender rabbit. She's 4. Yeah, seriously. 4. A little girl should be innocent of all that stuff. I want to be innocent of all that stuff. I like to treat people as I find them. Not start to wonder what I should say, who they are. What's their pronoun? I want to tell them about Jesus. And now I'm the worst demographic in the world. Over 50 white male. Yeah. Surprised me too. I thought Jesus loves me, everyone loved me. Not the case. But we submit to the word. Next slide, please. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Is that right? No, am I right? Hang on. Yeah, draw near, next slide. Draw near. Now, before, go back. Is that it? Yep. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Okay, you read that. We don't want to be double-minded. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, he who is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Simply put, we can't have one foot thinking Jesus is going to bless us and one foot that the world telling he's not by our actions. We can't have a heart thinking, oh, look, you know, and everyone knows about a pacemaker fitted. Here I'm in hospital, rejoicing in Jesus, had a peace about it. Fact is, I had to give in to my pride and let them put the pacemaker in. I didn't want one, honestly. I wanted God to heal me. I wanted Jesus to give me a vision of clarity. And my heart was going to go from 22 beats a minute to 23, 24, until normal. And I could say, look what Jesus has done in my life. Didn't happen. But it's going to happen. Because the revelation came to me that this is an implant. My heart can actually beat on its own when it wants to. Heart, listen. And the reason for that thought process started because I do want Jesus. I know he's going to do a work. Because I've got this Bluetooth little device connected to my phone. This thing in here connects to my phone. It sends a little message to America with an algorithm saying my heart's working and it shuts off. Isn't that amazing? So at some point, my heart can start to beat and do its normal thing again and I can just have the thing removed and say, Jesus healed me. Mindset change I needed. sometimes it comes in different ways. I'm not going to be double-minded, but I needed man's intervention and God gave it in the beginning. He gave the knowledge to them to build it. God gives everything, even though he doesn't get the glory for it much of the time. Christians need to stand up and say, all the time, we give glory to Jesus, glory to the Father. And the other thing that's changed, sorry folks, I come people, ladies coming in not dressed properly. Into the clinic, I don't know where to look, so I focus on the animals. I focus on Jesus and I focus on the children. It's terrible. It's not fair. Anyway, I'm having a whinge. Bit like James. So next slide. Humble yourselves. Thank you, Tony. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. But just before that, listen to what he says. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy turned to gloom. Let you learn a lesson in Jesus. Let you learn a lesson to humble yourself and come back. Come back to the way that you can exalt God and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore, there is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy, but he is are you to judge your neighbour. So, next slide, please. What we're actually looking at is it's a sad state of affairs when we don't show some humility to each other. And you can see how James is probably just pretty annoyed. So he had to deliver a punch in the guts. Let him draw breath again. Sober up. You think, well, okay, Lord, how's this all going to work? It'll work out. This wokeness won't have legs, and I don't believe, because people are going to wake up. You know, since this started in America with the change in government, and now the change of laws very quickly, and things look good on the surface, but as you dig deeper, Christians can't worship. But the governor who said that can go to lunch anywhere. Two sets of rules. That there's been a great revival. In California, the worst state, as far as lockdowns, people going bankrupt, Christians not being able to worship. A tent revival like the 50s. And out of that, they've had to increase that tent size 5 times. And it's all different Christians, denominations, fellowships coming together and say, we are going to worship. We are going to stand for Jesus. And so out of all this, there were so many new folk there that the fellow had to throw his sermon away because people wanted to get saved. People wanted to get healed. And there was one cameraman there, and he went down this lady who was carried on a stretcher. And she was paralyzed, could not walk. And then it zooms back as he's saying, he saw this woman and the camera zoomed in on it, jumping for joy. No pain. And everyone started to flood in the aisles. He said, you want to get saved? Do you want to get healed like her? And they all started flooding in. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Increasing every single night. So out of all these problems came rejoicing. Because the focus was on Jesus. So James is thinking here, how can I stir them up? I'm feeling the spirit mourn inside of me. Seeing these people that I love commit murder. People that I know in Jesus are arguing all the time about money, about food. So he's delivering this punch in the guts. And he says, next slide. I lost a brother, my half-brother. This was written for Marie, knew nothing about this. I lost a brother, and we gained a saviour. You know, when I was a little boy and I had to go to the toilet, Jesus took the spade out and dug the hole for me. When I needed a bath, Jesus warmed the water and put me in the bath and washed me. I'm at living. I'm trying to bring some realism here. Picture it. And this man saw the power of God through his half-brother, recognizing who he is. And these people don't believe in miracles anymore. These people don't believe in provision anymore. These people become carnal. They become just like the people of Rome, the people, the Jews, that were persecuting them. There wouldn't be enough evidence to put them on trial for a Christian to convict them, in other words. That's sad. Now, I know Vineyard is very different, but the people I know here certainly love Jesus. They will continue to do so. Continue to keep in perspective. No matter how things get, how hard, whether your heart's going to stop beating or whether you think you've got no money to get in the car and come, but God will make a way. Because it's what you want to do. And not let my body talk, but let my spirit that Jesus put in there act. And I had to really push myself this morning. And I was healed. I don't know what yet, but I feel different again. I felt terrible the last few days. No, see my sister. But he's saying, you know, no one would know that you're a Christian. Next slide. And in modern day times, you know, we look at people not valuing their salvation, but wanting bigger houses, not happy with what they've got. Better lifestyle, going out to dinner all the time, movies, being entertained at the expense of the gospel and intimacy with God. The most wonderful thing that's happened to me is the intimacy with God. That is something that I cannot put into words, but it's something that yearns inside so much that you want to see Jesus make a difference in someone else's life. Even when the monitor's going screaming off every 10 minutes for 24 hours solid, that my heart rate went below 30. Oh, and they came in, are you alive? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. God's got it in hand. Next slide. So humble yourselves and resist the devil. You're not at war with yourselves. Sober up, and next slide. And you know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's reset. Take stock. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Next slide. And then he goes on to say, people boasting about tomorrow, think about what they're going to do, build bigger barns, get a new car, go on a holiday. And other people are struggling to put food in their belly. Don't worry about tomorrow. In verse 15 he says, because you ought to think that if the Lord wills, it will happen. Don't care about tomorrow. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. The Lord wants it, so it's going to happen. So, and that doesn't mean it doesn't answer our prayers. That doesn't mean we have no input into what is going to happen in our lives. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to please, and I've got to hurry up. So, whatever knows the right thing to do, next slide, and fails to do it, it's sin. It's sin. The right thing to do and fail to do it. I know I've had that problem. Next slide. Now it's time for a pat on the back, not a punch in the guts. The last verse in chapter 1 back, verse 27, it says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world." Now, that might be a natural solution to a spiritual problem. Just go out and do something that's good. But the heart's there. You're going to see a miracle happen there. If your heart is there to serve the Lord and not just be seen. Because in Matthew 6, it says, verse 3 and 4, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father..." Don't make a big issue about tithes, but it's important. So just to finish, worldliness versus pure religion versus Christianity. Next slide. Unsaved or saved with religion versus Christ-like. So I'll finish there. At the end of the day, let's put a smile on our face, because I'm getting rid of my religion and I desire to be Christ-like, right? As we all should be. Smile on the dial and rejoice, even though sometimes things are hard to hear. Rejoice in Jesus' name.
That was good.